be a billionaire. Like, I don't really care. I'ma be a billionaire. Like, I'ma be a trillionaire.
Welcome to the I Love Recruiting Podcast with your host, Adam Roach.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to the I Love Recruiting Podcast. I am your host, Adam Roach, and today we have my man, Mr. Jeremy Feldman, with us. Now, if you're in the art of recruiting and you're watching this live, you will notice that some people say there's like a doppelganger of yourself. Some people say you have like a twin. And I will definitely say that this one, if you're watching right now in the Art of Recruiting, or if you're watching this in the I Love Recruiting YouTube page, we kind of twins today, Jeremy. Check us out. Black and red and white shirts with our logos on them, right?
Looking good. Looking good.
Bald head. We got a blue pin behind our ear. How about that? You definitely have a much better background than I do, my friend.
You got me on the pipes, though. I'm trying to get my arms to look like yours.
I don't know about that. So, everybody, here's what we're going to do today. So, Mr. Jeremy Feldman has some incredible nuggets to drop. This man has built companies. He's built a gym. He's built a real estate company. He's got a new platform that he's created in the space of helping agents, team members grow their companies big, fast, and strong. And I'm super excited to have you as a guest. He's a former coaching client of mine. He's a bro of mine, and he's a Charlestonian as well. So, Jeremy Feldman, welcome to the show.
Thank you, sir. Very excited to be here. I appreciate
you. Likewise. Catch us up real quick. Give us the CNN version. Who's Jeremy Feldman?
Who's Jeremy Feldman? So, military brat at a young age, super into sports, kind of always leaned towards athletics, not so much towards, you know, art and creatives that really wasn't my thing, wasn't my strength. Bounced around all over the world with, dad in the Air Force, and then kind of settled in Colorado, where kind of grew up there from middle school on. And, once I grew up in Colorado Springs, and once I was old enough to pay my own bills, moved to Denver, which was, the big city. You know, it was a lot cooler up in Denver there. And, that's really when I kind of started to fall in love with real estate, honestly. I acquired a couple properties while I was living there, just kind of the old-fashioned way, save 20%, put it down, rent it out, right?
Right.
And had some buddies that were in real estate. They were doing really, really well. This is before the crash of 07, 08, 09. So they were doing really, really well. And I was super close to kind of pulling the trigger back then, but then kind of on a whim, sold all my stuff, moved to Charleston in 2012, and started the gym.
So wait a minute. So you went from real estate to the gym. How'd that happen?
I had an interest in real estate. I was really just kind of a landlord. Okay. Didn't really know what I was doing, but always had a little bit of an itch, a little bit of a draw towards real estate. It was something that it's something that I understand, you know, whereas the stock market is a lot of theory and fundamental pricing theory and things that you can't actually like touch and feel and look at. Right. Yep. When you're talking about a valuation of a bond or a stock or something like that. Sure. But real estate is very simple. It's very simple to understand. You can see it. You understand how it goes up in value. Somebody pays rent, pay the mortgage down. Right. So I was drawn to that. I was drawn to the simplicity of it.
Well, okay. So now back me up. So you came to Charleston 2012. Now you started a gym.
Yep.
Started the gym. Walk us down that path, because the gym is still in operation today, right?
Yeah. So my brother, he's actually the CEO of the gym now. He took that over. I'm doing the real estate full time, but so it's still in operation. But when we first started it, that was kind of the reason I moved here. Right. So, came out with my best friend. We opened a gym and a martial arts school. That was kind of the vision, and they were going to be next door neighbors. And, the plan out was I was going to sleep on his couch. Right. I'd get the bottom drawer of his dresser. Mm-hmm. And, we'd have to start work by 9 a.m. Those were the rules. That's really all we had up to that point. And so we started the gym in 2012. And the concept was, you know, that parents could drop their kids off. You know, the kids could go take their taekwondo lesson. Parents get their workout in. And then they can pick up the kids, hit the road. Everybody's happy. Everybody's healthy. Nice. And So yeah, that was the original idea.
So now wait a minute, Taekwondo, are you a Taekwondo dude?
In a previous life, yeah, that was a little part of it.
That
was
I didn't know that. That's pretty absolutely cool.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to spell Taekwondo, let alone do it. That's awesome.
It's not easy. It's definitely not phonetic.
So now, okay, so here we are. We're almost 10 years into this gym and it's still operating. Gym ownership is not an easy feat. You literally have to recruit clients day and night. Would you agree?
For sure. For sure.
Walk us down that path. How did you do it? How did you stay successful for 10 years?
Good question, man. I guess there's definitely been opportunities to throw in the towel. Mm-hmm. I guess just not doing that, you know, grinding it out, hiring great coaches. We had a business coach before we had a lease, before we had our first member, before we knew what the hell we were doing, what we're going to name it. We had a business coach already. We specialized in the small gym space and have had one really, really ever since. That's both on the gym side and on the real estate side, to be honest.
Yeah.
So always having somebody who's at least a few years ahead of you, who's already kind of accomplished what you're trying to accomplish, mm-hmm. can maybe save you some heartache, show you some of the shortcuts so you can move a little bit faster.
Sure.
Maybe not make those same mistakes. But that's definitely a big part of it, you know, and then just I guess work hard and don't give up.
Yeah. Well, I like that you said that wasn't where I thought you were going to go. So you actually went out. And you said, I'm not really sure how to do this. So you hired a coach.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Now with that being said, you only had one drawer though. You only had one drawer to put your clothes in, but yet you went out and you found a way to pay for having coaches. You know, it's funny. I had someone the other day that I was talking to and they went down the path. They said, listen, I want to hire a coach and I want to hire you. And then we got to the very end of it. And I was thinking the absence of value, it's all about money, right? However, in my opinion here, what you did, what I heard you say, you had one drawer to put your clothes in. You had one drawer and you were, I don't forget where you said you were sleeping. Just like me, I was sleeping on in a kitchen in Los Angeles when I started my career. You hired a coach and you put your money towards the coaching. Now, here we are 10 years later and you still have a coach. Is that right? Is that what I heard you say?
Yep. Always. I'll never not have a coach.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool.
You know, especially if you're trying to do big things, whatever that is, if it's in real estate or business or even just being having a great marriage or being a great dad, it doesn't really matter. Whatever you're trying to do, there's just not enough time to figure all these things out on your own.
Right.
Right. Like we probably could. I could probably go screw things up on my own and figure it out and fumble through it and then master all these things. Right. But I just don't have time for that. Right? I want to be good at them much faster. So. Hiring coaches in whatever specialty it is, in my opinion, my experience, that's the best way and the fastest way to do it.
Yep, I definitely agree. Okay, now fast forward, Lively Charleston. It's on your shirt. It's on your TV. It's on a book back there behind you. Well, what is Lively Charleston? Catch us up.
Yeah. So Lively Charleston, that is our team name here, Lively Charleston Properties. Mm-hmm. So we had back when before pre-pandemic. Lively Charleston was originally a YouTube series that I hired a videographer to help me shoot as kind of an experiment, right? What I wanted to do was get out and experience some local business and just chat with some people that I thought were doing cool things around town, right? And I wanted to document it and just see if people would respond to it, if they would enjoy the content, and if I could bring some value to these people, right? By like bringing them some exposure. Right. And so I hired a videographer, we shot 10 videos and we did a couple of like top five coffee shops, breweries, things like that around town. A couple of business spotlights, you know, where I went in and went with a vet tech and I did a dog and a cat checkup. She kind of walked me through it. Right. So fun stuff like that. And it was cool. We got a great response and they got some exposure and some business from that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really enjoyed the process. Right. So we were a little bit tight on the budget at the time. So we had to kind of like shelf the project, but it was something that I really enjoyed and wanted to come back to. So then fast forward to right when COVID hits. And there were a couple things that we were within the business, we were kind of struggling. And I knew that we didn't quite have the culture that I wanted us to have. There were a couple of folks on the team that weren't fully bought into what we were doing. And I hadn't done a good job of getting clarity on the vision. Mm-hmm. Of being able to articulate that to anybody considering joining our team, what it is we're doing, where we're going, and why you should join our team, right? So in all honesty, if somebody if I was recruiting and somebody said, why should I join your team? Right. We're called the Feldman Group at that time. I didn't have a good answer for that. I was like, I don't really know. Maybe, you know, you're cool. I'm cool. Let's do this. Right. That's kind of all I had, which is not a good answer, by the way. Mm-hmm. So I needed to get clarity on that. And so one of the things I knew I wanted to do was just pull my name off of it. I didn't want to, some of the feedback I got from agents is that especially talented agents and top producers, you know, they want to get credit for their work. Right. And if, you know, if my name is kind of hovering over the top of everything they do, then a lot of times they don't get the credit or they don't feel like they got the credit. Right.
Okay.
And the reality is nobody cares about, you know, my name anyways, except for my mom. But she's, you know, she's not a client. She's not an agent. So
who is on the team, right?
But she is on the team. Yes, she's absolutely. Team. Yes. Yeah, she's our team. Admin support. Total rock star. Yes.
Yes, she is.
So that was kind of the first thing. And it just kind of, it was actually my girlfriend that suggested it. She said, well, if you're thinking about pivoting anyways, why not just move to Lively Charleston, right? You've already kind of established a little bit of a brand with that. Mm-hmm. And so I just kind of sat on it for a while and continued to kind of try to get clarity on what that vision is, right? Like, who are we? What do we stand for? Where are we going? And why should somebody join our team? And it all kind of came together, I'd say probably about 6 or 8 weeks after COVID. When we were all quarantined, had a little bit of time, you know, some of the deals quieted down a little bit, had a little bit of time to think. And that's how it all kind of came together with our team shifting over to being Lively Charleston.
Right. Exactly. Great story. Now the team has actually changed, in personnel, right?
Yeah, quite a bit. So, when COVID hit, we took a big hit. We went from 5 agents, down to just 1, besides myself. And so that was a tough time. You know, that was definitely a humbling and a learning moment for me. Mm-hmm. We had, you know, a couple of folks that they had to go just because they were pretty new in the business, and this whole COVID-19 thing was pretty scary, right? And we didn't know that real estate was going to recover like it did.
Yeah.
So they needed to go find some security, you know, get a paycheck, benefits, totally understand. And then we had a couple that weren't really culture fits. And as I was trying to kind of maneuver the process of figuring out what exactly our vision was going to be and articulate that to them, we had a little bit of a disconnect and we weren't really on the same page. So then there's a couple more that left. So we're down to just 1 guy plus me and then my ops manager and my admin, right? So we had an active team of 1 at the time. And that was, you know, last April or May.
Wow.
That was the case. Yep.
A whole year ago, 1 agent.
Yes. Yeah. Less than a year ago.
Now I want to pause there for a second because I heard you say a few things. Culture fit, right? You said culture fit. Would you have known that individual was a good culture or not a good culture fit based on, based on not having the vision in the beginning, but now you have a vision. So you look for alignment to see if they were a proper fit, or tell us about that culture fit, because I'm sure there's lots of listeners right now that say, gosh, I have some people on my team or I have some people in my organization that are not good culture fits. And maybe I need to take Jeremy's advice and go build a vision first and then come back and see if there's real alignment to see if that culture. So walk us through that real quick. How do you understand that they were not a good culture fit?
100%. So to answer your question, I couldn't articulate that either at the time. Mm-hmm. I just kind of sensed it, right? And it was a process of getting some pushback on some things that I was trying to implement, and they weren't really aligning. And then, you know, this falls on me too. I wasn't doing a good enough job of communicating the vision and of creating a bright future for the team, mm-hmm. right? But going back to your point, it's not a coincidence that on one hand, I did not know how to articulate why someone should join our team and where we're going and what plans I have for the future. And at the same time, I also had bad culture fits, right? So like, that's not a coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas now, once I got, or go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, because that's what some agents will do, or that's what some entrepreneurial builders will do, is they will attempt to take every Tom, Dick, and Harry they have or can and say, look at my team, look at my organization, but there's no real proper alignment related to your vision, your values, your beliefs, whatever it may be, right? So good job there of pivoting and getting down to 1. You got naked. You got naked, right? Maybe. You got down to 1, skin and bones, right?
We got naked. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. And now, you know, and there was a, you know, I'll be honest, there's probably about a half a day there where I threw a little pity party for myself, and it was like, man, this sucks. You know, this is a gut punch.
Right.
And then it was like, okay, here we are. So where do we go from here, and what do we do, and how do we fix it?
Okay. So what'd you do?
So we got clarity on what those things were. And the first thing, I actually have it right here on our recruiting packet. We got super, super clear on what our mission was. I don't know if anybody could see that, but.
Good. Read it to us.
Mission: create a unique and memorable experience that exceeds our clients' expectations.
Love it.
And so what I needed was for the agents on my team, and I think every team leader or broker needs to have this, you need to have some sort of a framework that folks can use to make decisions, right? So without having a you know, 400 line item checklist of like, here's all the rules of how we behave, it's too much, right? You can't out process behavior, right? So what we need is a framework that where we can say, whenever somebody does something, we can say, hey, did you do it in the context of what our mission is and of what our core values are? And as long as that's a yes, then any mistakes are fixable.
Right.
Right. So once we had that, then it was, so for example, the words unique and memorable, that's something that before somebody even joins my team, they're probably going to hear that at least 100 times, because they're going to see it on our recruiting website. They're going to see it on our advertisements, on our job ads. When we first hop on that first screening call, we're probably going to say it a dozen times. And then when I meet them for coffee, I'm probably going to say it two dozen more times, right? So they're going to know damn well when they join our team that this is a central focus of what we do. And they're going to know that that's going to be an expectation. That's going to be a part of their, what they need to be doing as an agent with us, is somehow create a unique and memorable experience.
All right, so I want to pause you just for 1 second to give everybody time to catch up, because I know they're writing. I want you to hear what Jeremy said there. We got experience, we got memorable, and we have unique. Unique was the word, right?
Yep.
And those are his key words there, and there's maybe a few others. However, what did he say there? Over and over and over and over and over, you said it, right? I mean, I've read countless books of former CEOs that have said, our biggest mistake was not sharing the vision and the vision statement or the mission statement enough to where our people knew what it is we were looking to sprint to or run to or be a part of. So that's cool. Because that's the expectation that you're setting, right?
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So keep going. I love this framework you're building. Keep going with this framework.
Yeah. So we have our mission, and then we have our motto, and then we have our core values, right? So our mission is create a unique and memorable experience for our clients. Our motto is, and this is something that you helped me a lot with when I was working with you. And funny story for anybody watching that hasn't worked with you one-on-one. I'm all excited and we're working together. And then, you know, our very first one, and I'm thinking you're going to teach me how to recruit agents and like overcome objections and all this stuff. Like, you know, first phone call, right?
Right.
And which eventually we got to, but first phone call, we didn't even touch it. You're like, I need to know what's your vision statement? What's your mission statement? And of course, at that time I didn't have it. Right. And I was like, you know, more like, you know, help people, you know, something like it was something kind of cheesy, kind of, it wasn't creative. It wasn't anything. It wasn't unique to me. Right.
Right. It definitely wasn't memorable.
It wasn't memorable. Right.
Wasn't memorable,
challenged me on it. Yep.
Yeah.
And then you challenged, and I said, okay. So I put a little work into it, came back. You said, okay. And then you poked holes in it. You challenged me. And we ended up spending the first 3 or 4 weeks on that.
Yeah.
And being like, all right, this is pretty important if we're spending this much time on it. Mm-hmm. It was. So circling back to your point, our motto then is to do work we're proud of, right? Again, it's a framework, right? So instead of a 200 point checklist, just, hey, are you proud of the job you did? Would you put your name on that publicly? Right. Right. And if the answer is yes, okay, great. We can work with that. And if the answer is no, then we have questions, right? And maybe you should have some internal questions as well.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. We're not proud of.
Yeah.
And then have fun while we do it. So do work we're proud of and have fun while we do it, right? And that's part of what lively is, right? The definition of lively is energetic and outgoing. So if we get into real estate, right? The reasons people get into real estate is for freedom and for opportunity and to make money and to be their own boss and to create opportunities for other people if they're a business builder. But it's not to get stressed the hell out and be writing documents until midnight every night and to miss all your kids' soccer games and to just soon enough hate your life and not understand how the hell you got here.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Love it.
So yep. Do work you're proud of, have fun while you do it. And then our core values, right? So
core value.
Yep. So as long as someone, and we put that on the back too. So anytime someone, the first instant they interact with our organization, those three things are front and center, right? Nice. And then on the core values, treat everyone like family, exceed expectations, have a growth mindset, take extreme ownership, right? So if there's a problem with your transaction, it's your fault. Even if it's the lender's fault, it's your fault,
sure,
right? Not to point fingers, not to pass blame, but to take ownership and to have power over the ability to influence the outcome.
We call that, right? We call that pointing thumbs.
Pointing thumbs. I love that.
Yeah, pointing thumbs.
Right here.
What else? Is that the last value?
Yes.
That was awesome. So check that out. So you went from blindly building to framing. Well, blindly building, getting butt naked, one agent, reframing your structure, which basically meant rebuilding your foundation, to now having the team that you have today, which is what?
We have now 10 active agents and two more coming on within the next 2 weeks.
Wow. So 10 active agents, two more in the next coming weeks. And real quick, because we've got about 8 minutes here. Well, this is fine. What'd you do differently this time? So again, we got naked. We had a little change in pace. We built a framework. We've got a solid foundation. We know alignment now, how it works. And now you have 10 people on your team that before you couldn't get past five. What'd you do differently?
Yeah. So great question. The biggest thing we did was I started being super, super focused and intentional on creating something that people think is cool and they want to be a part of, right? So, for example, you know, once we created the framework on here's exactly who we are, here's what we represent, here's where we're going. If you align with that, then maybe we would be a great team, right? We'll continue that conversation. But in order to, I'm not really the guy to be cold calling agents and, you know, hey, are you happy with your current broker? It's not really my game. And it's not something I enjoy. What I would rather do is attract people to me, to my organization, to our vision, to where it is we're going, right? And the way we attract is by doing things that are attractive, right? So things that people think it looks like we're having fun. It looks like we're living by our motto, right? Which is do work we're proud of and have fun while we do it. So the first thing, one of the things you kept challenging me on was envisioning. How do I envision the future? How do I envision the business? And I kept having this vision of a Jeep with the top pulled back, showing clients around Isle of Palms, wrapped up with, you know, our brand across the side. And I don't know where that came from. I just kept having this vision. So I said, okay, that needs to happen. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. So we got two of those. We got two Jeeps. We decked them out, lifted them, put big old fat wheels on them, matte black wrap, put the logo. Wait, they're sweet. They're all over town.
Do you have a picture you can show us? Do you have any pictures you can show us?
Oh, actually, yeah, it's right here in our, let me see.
Sure, you got to show it. Everybody's got to see this. Where is it? There they are. Yes, check those things out. So if you're in the art of recruiting and you're watching this, those are some sick Jeeps. And if you're on the podcast, just go find Jeremy. He'll tell you in a second where to go find it. I'm sure those pictures are there. I see those Jeeps everywhere in Charleston now. Everywhere. Yep.
Exactly. Right. And so it's part of my dream and my vision anyways. You know, it's in alignment with our motto, with our culture, right? Which is have fun. Let's do great work and let's have a good time. Right. But it also shows it's attractive, right? So people, they see the Jeeps, they're like, oh yeah, I've seen you guys around. They see the YouTube content, right? So we're really all in on now we're back to doing the YouTube content again, on providing that value there and going out and interacting with businesses, doing neighborhood tours and, you know, 10 reasons to live in Mount Pleasant or in Goose Creek or wherever. And people are getting a lot of value from that and they enjoy that. And so that now other agents see that stuff. And the message I'm continually getting is, you know, hey, it looks like you guys are having a lot of fun. I see you everywhere. Like, what are you guys up to? Like, can we chat about it? Like, right. So nobody said, hey, cool Jeep, will you sell my house? Right. It doesn't really work that way. Right. But it's, hey, cool Jeep, or oh, cool video, or hey, man, I really like what you guys are up to. Would love to learn more about it. And it at least starts a conversation.
Yeah. So to make sure I heard everything right there, I love this. Do work you're proud of and have fun, right? Mm-hmm. And so the proudness comes in, number one, you wear your shirt all the time, just like I wear my I Love Recruiting shirt all the time.
Yeah, baby.
And now you put it all over Jeeps. And so people see this. And I love what you said there, Jeremy. You said, we didn't put that on the Jeep to sell more houses. We put that on the Jeep to basically be more attractive, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. For people to pay attention to the brand and people to pay attention to what you guys are doing, which is being proud and having fun.
That's right.
That's awesome, man. That's right. Okay. Now watch this. Let's future pace. So a year ago, we had one agent. We were butt naked. Now we're basically at 12 agents. Where are we a year from now?
So we're at, in a couple of weeks, we'll be at 12. Yep. By the end of the year, we'll be roughly 20. And then a year from now, you know, to be honest, I've made promises to our current team. We will only grow as fast as I can keep that culture intact. That's number one.
Love it.
There's culture and there's the promises that we've made to our people. And then growth is several steps below that. So to be honest, I don't really have a target. As long as we can keep the systems in place and provide all of our agents the support, because we provide a ton of support for our mm-hmm. team. Right. So as long as we can make sure they're successful and we continue to be attractive, then we'll grow at whatever that organic pace is, right? So we could be a 30 next year, we could be a 60, or we could still be a 20.
Right. Now, what I do know real quick, let's see, we do have some, of course, we've got John Crompton posting on here.
Crompton in there.
Twins, don't half step on Jeremy. I'm assuming that's a Taekwondo reference there. That's really cool. Here's what I want to say real quick. Even though you said you're only going to grow to keep the culture, well, you'll grow to keep the culture intact, right? So whatever that number is, that's what you're going to shoot for so that the culture stays intact. And I want everybody to know that you are building or have built or in the process of continuing to break it to make it better, an onboarding system, right?
Yep, absolutely. So as part of our coaching process and our recruiting process, and also just screwing the shit up a whole bunch of times and figuring it out. I've realized in conversations with other team leaders and other brokers that they have all the same problems that we do, right? Surprise, surprise. Mm-hmm. So we built kind of a spinoff brand called The Lively Agent, where, you know, the motto and the core values are the same, right? But what that is it's coaching for agents and coaching for team leads on how to, you know, if you're an agent, how to, you know, identify what your personal core values are and what your personal business goals are and how to build a business that lets you live your dreams, right? That's our tagline. And then on the team leader side, where their biggest struggles are recruiting and growth and onboarding, right? Having some sort of a systemized process with that. And so we have created a program where we will help team leaders over the course of 12 weeks. We'll help them identify, much how you helped me, we'll help them identify, you know, what their mission statement is, what their motto is going to be, what their core values are, and then help them implement a process where they can start attracting and then also onboarding people. So by the time folks are on their team, they've gone through their training process, they are 100% dialed in on those things. They're bought into the culture. They're raising the level of the entire team.
Love it.
All while not destroying the team leader's life because they have to put all of their attention into this person, you know, while dealing with their needy clients, right? So using systems and optimization to do that.
Love it. Love it. Great value there. Okay, real quick. So how can people go find you? Where do they find Lively Agent? Where do they find Lively Charleston? Where do they find Jeremy Feldman? Give us the directions. What's the map?
Yes, sir. The easiest way is probably just going to be on Instagram. You can find me, Jeremy Feldman. You can find Lively Charleston and you can find the Lively Agent. Those are all on Instagram. You can find Lively Charleston on YouTube. And then the Lively Agent will be launching its YouTube. We'll be launching our podcast where, my man, we're going to switch roles there on the podcast, right? I'll be asking the questions. And so we'll have a lot of great guests on there as well. So probably Instagram or YouTube.
Perfect. Okay, great. Everybody, this has been some great value, Jeremy. You have done an incredible job here of sharing how you got to where you are. And the framework there, my friend, is so scalable and so duplicatable. I have no doubt that our listeners found massive value there. So thank you very much. Go find Jeremy, go find Lively Charleston, go find Lively Agent and follow Jeremy. And as soon as that program comes out, I'm going to promote it. So y'all better be ready for that because he's going to blow it up with your onboarding and the how-to. So Everybody, thanks for joining us today. Again, my name is Adam Roach, and I am your host, and this is the I Love Recruiting Podcast. See you later. Bye.